Please pray with me. Almighty and ever-living God, the source and perfection of all virtues, please grant that I may employ myself in what is just and preach what is true, so that in my preaching and in my ministry I may provide for your faithful people the teaching that brings them grace. Amen. Jesus prayed, "The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me." And a group of mothers, maybe even on Mother's Day, may pray, "Dear Lord, we unite our prayers with all the mothers' prayer groups throughout the world. Lord, we are serious in our requests. We have wasted too much time worrying and trying to put things right ourselves, and even by doing nothing at all. But now, Lord, united with all our sisters in your family, we praise you and we thank you for the new hope you have given us as we bring our children to you." Both prayers express a desire for unity in bringing children, both young and old, to know God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. For them to experience the love of God as a benevolent parent. Unfortunately, many people have not experienced the joy of a loving parent. Many parents do not receive respect, honor, and love from their children. And many have experienced the death of children and parents. Such heartbreaking conditions of life can make Mother's Day a less than joyful occasion. And for those who can joyfully celebrate Mother's Day, and for those who would rather not celebrate Mother's Day, one thing is certain. At some point in our lives, there was a mother who nurtured us, whether it was our natural or adopted mother, a nurturing that may be why we are here today as a family of daughters and sons united in our faith in Jesus Christ as we profess it in the words of the Nicene and Apostles' Creeds. The greatest loving, uniting, and nurturing mother God has given to us is one we often overlook, the Holy Catholic Church, where Catholic Church means the one true universal, all-encompassing, and diverse church. However, this has not and is still not always the case, because the modern Christian church, like the early Christian church, tears itself apart with moral, doctrinal, and theological disputes. Such angry disputes in the early church prompted Saint Cyprian, the bishop of Carthage in North Africa, in the 3rd century AD to write, "You cannot have God as your father unless you have the church for your mother. You cannot have God as your father unless you have the church for your mother." Have you ever thought of the church as your Christian spiritual mother? Have you ever thought of the church as your Christian spiritual mother? It's an easy conclusion to make when we consider ourselves children of God who are filled with the Holy Spirit that has breathed into us from Jesus Christ. Many times, the New Testament refers to followers of Jesus Christ as children of God. John chapter 1, verses 12 through 13 informs us, "To all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. And since we are spiritual children, then we must have a spiritual father and a spiritual mother." Jesus refers to himself as the bridegroom in Matthew chapter 9, verse 15. "The wedding guests cannot mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them, can they? The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast." And Jesus again refers to himself as a bridegroom in Matthew chapter 25's parable of the 10 bridesmaids. So, if Jesus is the bridegroom, who is Jesus' bride? If Jesus is the bridegroom, who is Jesus' bride? The Christian church has been and continues to be the bride of Christ as it has been revealed to us through the imagery of the parables and other references in the Bible, such as Revelation chapter 19, verses 7 through 9. "Let us rejoice and exult and give him the glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. To her it has been granted to be clothed with fine linen, bright and pure. For the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. And the angel said to me, 'Write this: Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb.' And he said to me, 'These are true words of God.'" Protestant reformer John Calvin, in Book 4, Chapter 1 of his Institutes of the Christian Religion, used the image of a mother to describe the visible church to help Christians better understand the gospel. This is what John Calvin wrote: "Because it is now our intention to discuss the visible church, let us learn from the simple title of mother, how useful, how indeed necessary it is that we should know her." The late Reverend Dr. Ronald Wallace, minister, theologian, and professor of biblical theology at Columbia Theological Seminary, wrote this to describe why John Calvin used the term mother to describe the church during the Protestant Reformation. "Therefore, the church is the bride of Christ, is the womb in which the infertile believer encounters the gospel, is impregnated by the Holy Spirit, by the preaching of the word. It is she who nurtures us, feeding us at her breasts with the pure milk of the gospel, later giving us the solid food of sound doctrine and discipleship. She guides us with her long wisdom, taught to her by the Holy Spirit from the Word of God over long ages of her history, the very wisdom of God in Christ, to whom she submits. And her divine human bridegroom cares for her, leading her and loving her, teaching us through his word and by his spirit in her church. Teaching us through his word and by his spirit in her church. Therefore, since Jesus Christ is one with God the Father and the Holy Spirit, and is married to the church, and we are children of God, then the church is our spiritual mother who is calling to nurture, whose calling it is to nurture us, so we will be able to bask in the glory of God. We will become one unified body as the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one God, and we will show the world that God sent His Son through our love for each other and our love for others. Because Jesus Christ loves us as God the Father loves His Son, Jesus Christ. Concerning unity in the body of Christ and the nurturing the Mother Church is to do, the Apostle Paul wrote this in Ephesians chapter 4. I therefore, a prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it is said, when he ascended on high, he made captivity itself a captive. He gave gifts to his people. When it says he ascended, what does it mean but that he also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is the same one who ascended far above all the heavens, so that he might fill all things. The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to the measure of God's full Christ stature. We must no longer be children, tossed to and fro, and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth and building itself up in love. As each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth and building itself up in love. Question for this week. What can you and I accomplish together in love to make Jesus' prayer, I have given these people the glory that you gave me, so that they can be one just as you and I are one. I will be in them and you will be in me, so that they will be completely one. Then the world will know that you sent me and that you love them just as you loved me. Become a reality in this church, in this place, at this time. What can you and I accomplish together in love to make Jesus' prayer become a reality in this church, in this place, at this time? We will now observe a moment of quiet, silent reflection.